Welcome to the Legendary Upside Podcast or Sports Grid Podcast, wherever you're listening to this. Jacob Sanderson was supposed to be with us. This is supposed to be one of the classic three-man dynasty pods, but just here with Davis Maddock. Yeah,
he's a grown-up, you know.
So I think some work stuff came up. So he's out there doing things in the real world. Maybe one day we'll do that too, Davis. But for now, we're talking about dynasty.
I'm gonna guess. Probably not. the year is 2034, and we are ranking like Derrick Henry's kid. You know, like that's really gonna be. I'm just staring in to a crystal ball and showing you our future. Like nothing's gonna change.
Dude, that hurt. Frank Gore Jr. is coming in this year. Like this Frank Gore Jr., Brendan Rice, and Marvin Harrison Jr. are all coming in. So yeah,
Derrick Henry's kid is next.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking through our dynasty rankings today. I'm going to be shortly publishing a update to the ranks that actually include rookies, and wanted to go through and discuss the rankings that we all have put together, including Davis and Jacob's ranks as we go through them. I'll share my screen here and let's see. I've got the rankings that are all three of ours, and then I also have my solo rank so we can see the rookies. So let's see. So first of all, let me actually go here, and this is where I slotted in Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Marvin Harrison. Wanted to get your thoughts on just like, is this where you would slot these guys in? I know you haven't put rookies in your ranks, but you're super familiar.
No, with guys. I would be. I mean, one of the things that was the biggest difference between all of our combinatorial rankings was that I was way lower on Justin Herbert. I will definitely.
Yeah, that's actually true, man.
I would take Justin Herbert after Caleb Williams and Drake May for like a couple reasons. The first one being he doesn't have any wide receivers right now. They just spent a first round pick on a wide receiver who stinks. Keenan Allen is going to be 32. Mike Williams is going to be coming off of his third season ending injury. John Harbaugh's ranks in terms of total pass attempts as a team in the NFL. He's never been above 28th in the NFL. He's been dead last in the NFL twice as a head coach. At the University of Michigan, he was bottom 10 in all of FBS, so the football bowl subdivision, like 125 out of 135 in total pass attempts each season. So they might win some more games, and Justin Herbert is a really good quarterback who can make lots of throws, but I think he is going to have Purdy-esque volume, but not in a Shanahan offense with these guys who are insane. After there are going to be a lot of games where Justin Herbert goes 20 for 28, 214 passing yards, two passing touchdowns in a 24-14 win. And he's just not going to be required to score that many fantasy points. And he doesn't run. Caleb Williams and Drake May are both going to run. They're both young. In Superflex, I would definitely hear an argument between Harrison and Herbert. Could really go either way there. I don't feel super strongly, but I do feel pretty strongly that I would take both Williams and May straight up over Herbert.
Yeah, I just immediately made that change because I think it's just going to be an offseason of us being like, believe who Jim Harbaugh is telling you he is.
Yeah,
like he hired Greg Roman as his OC. Like there's already plenty of red flags about how much he was going to pass to begin with, just based on his history. And, you know, I also worry about like how well this is even going to go, given that he had awesome defenses when he was with the 49ers. He's not going to have an awesome defense now, like at all. So maybe in 3 years or 2 years, the defense starts to come together in this, but they're going to be frustrating if they play like this. With the quality defense they currently have. Yeah. They're just going to be kind of Falcons-y, kind of Bears-y if that's how they do it. Harbaugh's not like a Arthur Smith level donkey, I don't think, but
no, he's not a donkey. They're gonna win games. They're immediately gonna get more competent and more professional. And Greg Roman, the first year he has a quarterback, it's generally their best year. It's generally, if you go back and look at the first year he gets a guy in his system, they generally do the best. I think it was Lamar's second season.
Yeah, but it's usually mobile guys.
Yeah, I mean, Herbert is mobile, and maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe Herbert will turn it. Remember, Rodgers used to be a guy who would run for 400 yards and four touchdowns a season, more or less. And like that sounds like nothing. I mean, that adds like a huge... I think it's something like 2.5 points per game or something when you get guys to that level of like, think about the difference between Joe Burrow rushing and like half of Josh Allen's rushing stats, basically. Like it's a huge difference. You don't even have my biggest hot take in the entire rankings on this front screen though.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, let's see your, well,
I have Jordan Love as my 9th overall player, ahead of Joe Burrow, ahead of Anthony Richardson, ahead of Bijan, ahead of St. Brown, McCaffrey, Breece, all these guys. I am way higher than Jacob and way higher than you.
That seems rash.
Of course it seems rash, but Jordan Love, honestly, he's got everything that you could ask for from a dynasty quarterback. He is young. He just turned 25. He is totally entrenched on the team that he's in. Like, compare him to someone like that we argued about last offseason, like Justin Fields. Like, literally a 0% chance of any sort of turmoil in his contract situation, the team he plays for, his coach, none of that.
What do you mean? That is my concern. He's not signed past this year. And he's,
oh, they're just going to give him a blank check. He's going to sign a huge contract. He's going to sign 5 years, $180 million.
So when? Because if it's before this season, then like wheels up. But if they let him play out this year, he's only due like $12 million.
I would put his odds of playing out this season at $12 million at like sub 15%. I think there is no way the Green Bay Packers can look at a guy who got them to a playoff game, won a road playoff game, 7.2 YPA, 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. They also, their bad cap season was this last season. So the season that they just played was their cap hell season, where they had to basically eat the shit on a bunch of bad contracts. They had to pay some bad defensive players. I think there was consequences of trading Rodgers and Adams that they had to eat against the cap as well that are going to come off. And the other thing that is really juicing me all the way up on him is that he's got, I think by my calculations, like 7 good pass catchers, like guys who are all maybe not great.
He kind of does. Yeah.
So he doesn't have his Jefferson or his Chase yet, but they're all fine to maybe even better than fine. And none of their contracts expire for 2 more years. They all are on, they're all 24 or younger, and they're all on contracts that don't expire. Watson expires in 2026, but all the rest of them are Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Dobbs, all these guys, they all don't expire for 3 more years, actually.
Well, okay, so Jordan Love, I probably have him too low at 30th, but you have him ahead of Anthony Richardson. You have him ahead of,
yeah,
like Joe Burrow. Like that does seem. I mean, why ahead of Richardson?
Because Richardson he's got to show me that he can play NFL quarterback without sacrificing his body. Like it wasn't a case of he suffers a fluky hamstring injury. It's that this dude is taking head-to-head shots at the goal line. Like, the thing that someone would have argued about Jalen Hurts has proven conclusively he can play quarterback without sacrificing his body too much, right? He ran, I think he had 200 attempts in college, never missed a college game with injury. He missed three games in 2022, missed no games this most recent year. Richardson is like the exact opposite, where it's like he just keeps I mean, he got hurt three times in five games and then was out for the season. I think in the end it was a hand injury that ended up keeping him out. So maybe
I think it was shoulder. I think he rammed into a guy.
You're right.
I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. Okay. He went rammed into dude and he hurt his shoulder and he was done for the year. So,
and maybe the listeners are saying to me that you should be betting on the come more than that. You know, you don't wait for the evidence of something you've already seen. But what I would say is, like, you know, Lamar is a running quarterback, but when's the last time you saw Lamar get laid out? I mean, have you ever seen Lamar really get, I do not in my memory ever remember Lamar getting like smoked by a linebacker or safety or whatever. There's just like a skill to that. And maybe I'll be wrong about Richardson and he'll run for 15 touchdowns this upcoming year and Jordan Love will regress. You know, he ran for 300 yards and four touchdowns this most recent season, and maybe all of that will go away and I'll look like an idiot. But I just feel like it's just kind of basically and he plays in this horrible shit division with these terrible defenses. He gets dome games against Minnesota and Detroit every year. Like it's like the Packers just they can't keep getting away with it, you know? Like it's kind of like a little bit mimetic. But I feel maybe I'm wrong about the Burrow thing, but I feel pretty good about where I have him overall, like as a first round pick in startups.
The concern for me just generally is like he's if you're investing in quarterback, you know, it's supposed to be kind of like this, you know, kind of bond level investment. You know, the rookie picks are like your treasury bonds. Like you're just, well, the rookie picks are just literally money that's going to exist. But then if you're trying to invest in the quarterbacks, you don't want, it's supposed to be a part of your roster that's a fairly safe investment. And I do think that Jordan Love, who, you know, took forever to get on the field, was not all that highly thought of by the market at all entering the season. Kind of, we all thought sort of sucked. By week eight. Like week eight of this past year, we're all kind of like, ugh, Jordan Love isn't it. And then he turned it on, has this great run. But I think it's pretty easy to imagine a world where we're like, oh, wait, Jordan Love sucks. You know? And that you lose a lot of value.
And he doesn't have the rushing floor that, like, so, like, the guy that we argued about this last offseason, I was actually on the other side of you guys, was Fields. I was way lower on Fields than you guys, where I was like, there's just a world where the team just says he sucks. But he can suck. Justin Fields can suck and still be a guy that doesn't kill you because he's running so much, which is, like, literally what happened, which is, I think, ultimately, the team is going to decide they don't want him and they're going to ship him off somewhere else. But he was still awesome for you in fantasy in 2023 because he ran so much. Love is like Burrow. Love is like where it's all about what is surrounding him and about the passing efficiency. And if any of that goes away, like we saw with Burrow when, you know, T was banged up, when Chase was banged up, it was just like, it was a mess basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the way that I've solved this is that I slotted him just a couple spots in, actually one spot in above Kyler Murray. Jacob's here. What's up, Jacob?
Pat's going to murder me today after I made him get up for this and then slept through my own alarm, but looks like I haven't missed up.
I thought you were doing lawyer stuff. You slept through your alarm?
No, lawyer stuff does not start for an hour and a half. I just purely... My starter alarm worked, and then I have a warning alarm, and then I have a real alarm, and the warning alarm hit, and then the real alarm did not hit. So I got up at like 6, and then the next time I like got up, I was like, I feel way too refreshed, and it was not 6:30, it was 7:30.
Oh well,
you caught us at a good time. We're arguing about Jordan Love,
and I was about to bring up Kyler Murray, who's your boy.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So we're arguing about Jordan Love, who Davis has at 9. I'm the bear. I'm at 26. But as Davis was making the case, I just took him. I put him above Trevor Lawrence. And then you're in the middle here. But you've got Kyler Murray at 12. Davis just talked me into slotting Love ahead of Murray, because one of my concerns with Love is that we all just come to the conclusion that he's not very good. Like I kind of feel about Kyler Murray. But why are you still so high? Just the second year off the ACL shows a little bit more, but is Kyler Murray good?
I don't think it matters that much. Like, I view Kyler kind of similar to how I view Hurts. I think he's like a fine quarterback who runs. And I think he's comfortably one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the league. He's played, certainly, like, if you go back to his second and third years in the league, I think you'd be pretty confident that he was good. His fourth year, not so much. And then this past year, like, I don't put a ton of weight on the sort of half season post ACL. I think the whole of it speaks to me that he's probably like an average starting quarterback rather than a good starting quarterback. But as long as he's one of the best 32, he's going to be running a lot. So I feel good about that. And then, you know, Love, I think, is awesome. But that's sort of the opposite, where there's only so high you could probably want to rank Jordan Love as like a pocket quarterback who's also not super young, right? Like, it seems like he's younger than he is.
He's 25.
Because it was kind of his first full year starting. I think he's what, 26? Is he going to be 27 next year?
No, he's 25.
I just looked it up.
It's right here.
25. Okay. Yeah.
So he's in the same class as like Burrow and Herbert, right? Like, he's not like CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
So
correct.
Okay. So it's a pocket quarterback. And then we have very limited samples. So, like, if we knew for sure he was as good as he looked down the stretch, then we probably have him ranked, what, mid to late first, right with, like, Burrow and Herbert?
Yeah.
That's where I have him ranked.
That's where he has him now.
So that's fine with me. I feel like I want to have, like, some little level of, like, what if he's not that guy? Baked into the price, which
I'm sitting there and I'm thinking I'm on the clock. I got the wrap pick in a super flex startup, and I'm going, what do I want to do? Do I want to take Joe Burrow, a guy who I don't even really like, who doesn't run, who keeps suffering these season ending injuries? He's got Ja'Marr Chase, and then, you know, T. Higgins, very uncertain. I'm sure we'll talk more about T here in a little bit. Tyler Boyd's going to leave. You know, Bengals fans are absolutely horny for Brock Bowers. I don't think they're going to be able to get him.
No.
It's just all built up for Jordan Love. Like, Jordan Love has, this is what I was saying before you got on, Jordan Love has 7 pass catchers who are on rookie deals that don't expire for 2 more years, and they just had their shitty cap season. So if they wanted to sign some wide receiver or some type, like, whatever, they could. I don't think they will. I think they'll probably spend money on the defensive side of the ball, but it just feels like a really good spot to be in. And maybe ultimately I will end up being wrong because of what Pat said, which is they do actually make him play out this season on this very team-friendly deal that he signed, and they don't give him the mega extension. So basically what I'm saying is I'm betting against that. I'm saying
I think he's getting a big extension. I think he's getting 55 mil a year for however many years.
Why wouldn't they do that though? Because you can franchise tag him after that.
Because he's, if you think Jordan Love is the guy, if you think Jordan Love is him, you don't even want to risk it. You don't want to risk any discord. You want no animosity between you and your franchise quarterback, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, they did just literally have Aaron Rodgers, so they probably would like the idea of no animosity between.
Like, imagine if the Chiefs played hardball with Mahomes' contract, or like what happened with the Ravens and Lamar. Like, that was an uncomfortable situation for everyone.
Sure, but Lamar had won MVP, you know, and then played a few seasons after that.
Sure.
Mahomes is Mahomes. This guy had a pretty up and down season, actually. But it ended really up.
Yeah. So I would argue it might not even matter that much whether he gets the extension or not. Like, he played so good. Like, it matters
to me because then he has to do it again a little. Like, to this extent, but he needs to do it again if he.
Yeah. It matters. I guess my argument would be he was so good this year, at the end of this year, that no matter what, even if he's bad to average next year, he's going to get another opportunity. And so, and if he signs the extension and he's horrible for 2 straight years, then they're probably going to find a way out of it anyway.
True.
So I feel like either way, he kind of gets 2 years. Like, he gets one freebie year, and then he gets one I have to do it year. Like, if he's Carson Wentz, actually, and we thought he was an MVP, but he's actually terrible. Like,
right.
It'll still take him, I think, a couple years of being bad before, or maybe even 3 years of being bad before teams keep giving him opportunities, kind of whether he has that contract or not. But you'd rather him have it, for sure.
Yeah, the framing for me is, what happens if he's, like, pretty mediocre this year? And if he's got the contract ahead of that, then I'm still like, I'm like, yo, this dude's one of the locked in starters in this league that are getting increasingly difficult to find. So he's still going to be super valuable as a trade asset. If he's mediocre and it's about to enter a kind of make or break franchise tag year, that's a far less appealing trade asset. So I do think the contract, and I do agree with you guys, he's more likely to get the extension than not, and probably by a decent margin, but I would like him to get it. I think that helps for sure.
I think it helps. Yeah. Yeah.
Justin Herbert, Davis talked me into lowering. Yeah. You still have fifth. Are you?
I'm moving him down.
Okay, you're moving him down.
No, that was a pre Harbaugh, pre Roman ranking. Especially a pre-Roman ranking.
Yeah,
like, I'm more afraid of Roman than Harbaugh. Like, the Harbaugh thing at first, I had talked myself into, like, look, he had like a running quarterback with Kaepernick for most of his like San Fran run, and he's had all these like goofs at Michigan, and he plays in the Big Ten. But like, when he had Andrew Luck, like, you know, maybe he's just been waiting for his like. Next
no, they still Luck, ran maybe. The air out of the ball with Andrew.
But they Luck. Were Stanford, and it was weird. Like, I don't know. I'm just like, maybe if he actually had a real quarterback, he'd throw. And then his first action in this hypothetical was like, I'm hiring Greg Roman. And I'm like, oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. The Greg Roman thing is such a sign of where his head's at that, yeah, like, confirms all of our worst fears. Like, it's just not good.
Yeah. So I'm going to make some changes to this.
Am I too high on Justin Herbert, you think? The Jordan Love conversation has me continually questioning, why do I like
I'm snap taking Jordan Love over Justin Herbert, even though I think Justin Herbert is obviously better than him, like, you know, in a total vacuum of quarterbacking skill. But it's just, I don't know. And maybe I just donked it when I did these rankings, and I'll go back and I'll see that things clearly in 2 months, and I'll move him down 10 spots or whatever. But I just, like, coming off of what I just saw Jordan Love do for, like, the last 8 weeks of the season, I'm like, the guy fucking balls. Like, it's just, you know, and he also did that thing that good quarterbacks do where he ran more in big games, which I do like to see that, just because he had the ability, you know, like 300 rushing yards and 4 rushing touchdowns the season adds, like, a good amount of points.
All right, so let me bring up Jahmyr Gibbs, who – this is a guy, if I'm moving Herbert down a little bit more, I moved him behind Breece and Bijan, but Gibbs is the guy that you guys are not as high on. You have him at 22 and 28. I've got him at 16 right now.
It's hard to hear.
It's hard to hear.
I don't like being the low guy.
Oh, I thought I had a sound issue. Yeah.
No.
I just...
Sorry.
It's
emotionally hard to hear.
the only reason I have him outside of the top 20 is because he's a running back. It doesn't really have anything to do with Jahmyr Gibbs. And also, you know, they're re-signing David Montgomery, not going nowhere.
He's under contract this year.
Yeah, he's under contract. Like,
he's under contract. Yeah, but this dude
doesn't replay him.
This guy's gonna finish next season on a tear. And then Montgomery is maybe going to walk the year after, but we're all going to be like, he's going to walk, even if he doesn't end up walking. And then we're going to be, Jahmyr Gibbs is potentially Jahmyr Gibbs could be like the clear-cut RB1 after this season, I think. He's in a perfect spot.
Okay. How many games do you think Jahmyr Gibbs had more than 4 receptions over the latter half of the season?
Probably like 2.
Didn't he in the playoffs?
Really, well, wasn't. I wasn't counting the playoffs, but
Oh, well, it's easier if you just don't count the last games he had.
Oh, no. Okay. I'll count the playoffs. Sure. Actually, I'll count.
Oh, no. Damn it. I don't know. Three.
Zero. From week nine through the end of the playoffs. Not a single one. Like, I think what kind of happened with Gibbs, I love Gibbs. Or I guess I don't anymore, but I did and still claim to.
I still claim to.
Was like we all thought originally, like my thesis was, like Monty will get a bunch of carries and probably a bunch of goal line work, but Gibbs will get some carries and he'll get a ton of receptions. And that didn't really happen. He has like a pretty average receiving role, but he was just so efficient and so good. And he actually makes in some goal line carries that we were like, oh, good enough. Like this works and it worked out. So we didn't, I think, look into why. I guess my question is like, how much better do you think it can get next year for Gibbs than it was this year? Like he already was extremely efficient in terms of like,
he
could get more receiving work, but I guess I would feel better about like, I would feel better about his like sustainability of his profile. If it was like, oh, he had 80 receptions, then like he broke off a bunch of long runs. Cause like you can't really break off more long runs. Like that's harder to add. And I also feel like he kind of got as much goal line work as
he's going
like,
to.
They let him stay in. Like sometimes like I would watch and I would see him still in there inside the five and I felt guilty. Like I felt like I got away with some sort of crime. Like he would still be on the field. And I was like, this is nice.
I'm not sure where you're getting this receiving stat from. He had 11 receptions in week 11, 4 receptions in week 12. 4 receptions in week 16. Yeah. 4 receptions in the wild card round, 4 receptions in the divisional round.
Yeah. I had more than 4.
More than 4. Okay.
Where's the 11? What 11 am I missing?
No, 6 receptions in week 11.
6 receptions. So there was 1.
There was one. And 5 in week 8.
Oh,
is
there 1? Okay.
Week 7.
I was going from week 9 on, like I said, latter half, but I don't see the 6. I don't know.
He had 6 receptions against the Bears in week 11.
If I can give the bear case for the Jahmyr Gibbs, the Jahmyr Gibbs.
So 4 receptions are good. So there's 3 of those that we should also. Also, he had 9 receptions in week 7 and 5 receptions in week 8. So the week 9
I said latter half.
Is very crafted to make him look bad when he was actually he actually did have a decent amount of receiving work.
But it started higher and then it tapered off a bit.
Is that bad? He's a rookie, right? So the fact that it started that high is already super impressive. So yeah, you'd like to see.
I think it was indicative of how they had planned on using him before Montgomery got injured, which was he was clearly the pace and space guy, and Montgomery was going to be the Ram. If I could provide the bull case for what would you like his workload to be? I would point to, a lot of people have made the stylistic comp to Chris Johnson. I think it's a little bit different because he's not such a pure home run hitter. I will give him the greatest compliment I can pay a modern running back, which is to Jamaal Charles. So Jamaal Charles in 2009 led the Chiefs in rushing 190 rushing attempts in 15 games. He was targeted 55 times. He scored 8 touchdowns. So you would realistically look at that and be like, oh, he was the fucking best running back in the NFL. They're going to feed him the ball next season. They signed Thomas Jones in free agency. Thomas Jones then leads the team with 245 rushing attempts and even gets 20 targets in the passing game and scores 6 touchdowns to Charles's 8. The next season was the torn ACL season for Jamaal Charles. And then finally, in 2012, we were treated to the unbelievable Jamaal Charles leading the team in rushing, undisputed experience. So it's kind of one of those things where if it followed on a linear progression, I think I would be on Pat's side. But these things just tend to not go that way when the other guy on the team is someone that the team likes, which they definitely do with Montgomery is just a limiting factor in a way that Tyler Allgeier will not be for Bijan or Israel Abanikanda won't be for Breece.
Yes, I'm glad you brought up those guys because that's like that's where I feel I think most about it is not as much like denigrating Gibbs and more like I think basically the way you guys have it ranked, like you, Pat, basically have them ranked as a group of 3 whereas Davis, I have like the two and then a break and then Gibbs. And I think that's where it is for me. It's like Davis said, like, why is he in the top 20? Because he's a running back. I kind of feel the same way. And I guess I'm only willing to sort of make the exception with Breece and Bijan, where I just see like clear-cut paths to getting 280 to 320 carries and 70 to 80 to 90 targets. Like, I just don't see anything standing in their way from just getting an absurd amount of touches. And I believe in them as players from the efficiency point. Whereas Gibbs, like, the path for him is just, I think, a little bit muddier because I struggle to see him getting tons and tons of carries. And so it's going to need to either come through efficiency or receptions, and to have like that legendary season probably come through both. And he's capable of that, but it's just not quite as clear cut, which is why I have him like a tier back of Bijan and Breece. Like, I guess I foresee a lot of 17 and 18 point per game seasons from Gibbs, which is great, but it's not quite like I feel way more confident in the 20, 22 point per game seasons for Bijan and Breece. Why is that not as much the case for you?
It isn't specifically with Bijan, where I think Breece is now at the point where he's entering year three. We're, you know, hoping for a full season from Rodgers. He was amazing down the stretch. And you're basically like, honestly, in some ways, maybe Breece should be like in his own category.
Yeah.
You're shocked that this is coming from me, but he's the guy where you could actually get a legendary season, and then, you know, he increases substantially in value as well. Whereas, like, yeah. McCaffrey just had a legendary season, and it's going to, you know, it just kind of keeps him in place. Like, McCaffrey needs to do the unreal just to maintain value. Breece would actually increase. I don't really feel that confident in Bijan being able to put together a season like that. We don't know who their quarterback is. Obviously, if they get like a Cousins or something, I'd feel much better about his chances of getting there. But the chance they have like Fields or Russ, like, I don't think those guys are going to set up.
I think he'd be fine with Russ. Yeah.
Maybe.
Not with Fields.
A big check down guy. Yeah.
Russ has kind of become a bit more of a check down guy. Like, the Denver running backs' yards per route run was like pretty bonkers this year.
Yeah, fair. Okay, maybe Russ would be okay. But the other problem with Russ is that Russ might get benched halfway through the year. I mean, it could be like a Russ.
We might be back to Heineke by like week 9.
Do worse.
So anyway, this is not to say I don't think, like, I have Bijan at 9 in my best ball ranks, which is exactly even with ADP. So I think he's a fine pick. But like, am I as confident that he's going to absolutely crush this season? I'm not. However, my thing with Robinson is he's still one of the guys who can just have, like, he can have a good season and maintain value. If he has a great season, he's going to increase in value. That's pretty rare at running back, but I feel the same way about Gibbs. I think if Gibbs has a strong season, he will increase in value, in part because Montgomery could be out. His contract is over after this year. So there's like a future situation that looks bright. And I feel good about Gibbs's chances of having a good season. I also have him at ADP or one spot ahead. He's a 10th in my best ball ranks. So I'm like, for this year outlook, I have Bijan and Gibbs like back to back. And if anything, Gibbs's future might look brighter after 2024, because the quarterback situation is more solid, and the other competition will be leaving after this year, whereas Tyler Algier has one more year after this year. Not that he'll be a big thorn in Robinson's side necessarily, but he's solid,
we've seen the last of Tyler Algier. I think Arthur Smith left, Tyler Algier updated his LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't know why Arthur Smith got hired by
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steelers are trading a 4th-round pick for Tyler Algier. I mean, just, you know,
that happens. And I'm so tilted.
Yeah. Oh, they need Janu. I mean, Janu, working in there. The 13 personnel with Darnell Washington and
that's what I was about to bring up. Darnell Washington's about to go off, guys. That's the backup tight end.
I think
Connor Hayward, I believe. Darnell Washington.
I believe they're probably going to convert Darnell Washington to a lineman, which was my fear when we were doing this exercise last year. He just is simply too good at blocking.
Well, I haven't convinced you guys on Gibbs, but I am right. So just
you may very well be right. Maybe I'll move him up a little bit. I'm going
to
try.
It's a safe place to store running back value. There's three safe places to store running back value in the whole league.
Are there any running back value?
I think those three safe relative
to the rest of the running backs. Absolutely. Like I feel
yes.
Like
all right.
And to be clear, like I had this conversation with Gibbs about someone, and I'll stop it a sec. But like I'm not selling Gibbs generally. I'm basically only selling Gibbs for Bijan or Breece if I can do that move and not give up that much to someone who sees them all very similarly.
That's fair.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. If you went to me and tried to get me Gibbs for my Robinson and I got a little extra, I'd probably do that. And I also think that's a fair move. So I get that.
Sam Laporta turned 23 last month.
Yeah.
He led all of tight ends in fantasy football scoring. As a 22-year-old,
I have like way lower than you guys?
I didn't even look at your rank,
so this is a lovely.
You've
surprise.
Got him so much lower than.
I guess I hate the Lions. I don't know.
And honestly,
what the hell, man?
I'm looking.
How low am I on Amon-Ra? Do I have every Lion? Like,
you are the lowest on Amon-Ra.
Yeah. Because maybe you are projecting them to make some kind of personnel move this offseason that dilutes the target share or something.
Am I like really high on Jameson maybe? I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe you will be. I don't know. I don't think I am. But like Laporta feels like a guy who if he does this again.
No, you're super low on Jameson. You hate the Lions.
This dude. You know,
the funniest would be if I was just like super amped on Goff.
You have Goff 20 spots ahead. That would be really good.
You are the lowest.
Right in line on Goff.
You are consistent. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look up my Montgomery ranking.
Oh, please.
You're the lowest on Montgomery. Yeah. You just don't like the Lions.
Why am I so high on Montgomery? I don't really believe it.
Why are you so high? You have him 85th? Good God. I mean, I'm getting bailed out here because I put the rookies in mind. So
I like him. I like him more. I like him more than Austin Eckler, who I
like. Wow, Pat's showing off with his Trey Benson ranking.
Ooh, yeah, you like that?
I put the first. I don't think I put any of the rookies in this copy because I didn't. You know, they were even updated when I put them in. But I have like the first seven rookies solidly ranked in mind, and then after that, I've just put the picks. I was like, all right, I've done enough research yet. But nice,
Trey Benson. I like Trey Benson. I think he it feels a little Cam Akersy to me in a before the Achilles tear kind of way.
Nice.
But does this feel right to you for the top three, Jacob?
Oh, Williams, let's see. Where do I have him? I have Williams 10, Harrison. I have Williams 10, May 14, Harrison 18. And what do you have?
10, 11, 12.
Do you have the same order? Or do you have Harrison 2?
I have Harrison 3. Yeah, so I have the same.
I have Harrison 3 as well. Okay. Yeah. So pretty similar.
I'm very high on May. I don't understand why people are higher on May. He's popping as an incredible prospect.
Thanks for bailing me out of this. Why do you hate Sam Laporta sequence?
Yeah, you literally. I mean, I think there's an argument in tight end premium, given how bad tight end is and how certain I am that Laporta is good, that I'm too low on him having him at 19. That he actually should be like five spots higher.
So
yeah, go ahead, Jacob. Because I actually think I might be on your side here, even though I have him higher than you.
Okay. So a big part of this is like one reason why I've always been so bullish on ranking the tight ends in the past is because it's just been such a scarce position where it's always been like old man Kelsey and Andrews. And then it's like whatever young guy we're excited about, which is, you know, for the previous couple of years.
Jacob is about to tell us the tight end is actually deep.
Tight end is actually deep, guys.
Yeah, I've heard this before.
Every single
year, tight end is deep, and then it's a fucking disaster in season.
I've already heard people make the case for 2024. They've already said the tight end is deep in 2024.
And I think they have a good point.
Kyle Pitts is tight end 12, dude. If you think that's deep, I got a fucking riverfront property in Idaho.
Okay. So.
I got a timeshare for you, buddy.
All right. So, okay. I don't know if tight end is actually deep, but I don't think it's really scarce at the top either. Like it used to be like a few elites and then or often really a few people that we thought were elite, Travis Kelce, who actually was, and then like a barren wasteland. Whereas at this point in time, like, I mean, frankly, if the top of tight end isn't elite, then, you know, one of these guys like Sam Laporte is probably disappointing because there's a lot of guys that have a reason for optimism towards the top half, like especially in terms of young tight ends. You know, the alternatives, if Sam Laporte had come up and done the same thing in a vacuum like 4 years ago, who would have been the alternative to him as a young, promising, potentially elite tight end? Nobody. But now Trey McBride exists. Dalton Kincaid exists. Kyle Redacted exists. You know, there's,
I don't know. I'm not certain Dalton Kincaid really exists.
Brock Bowers exists. That's a huge one. And so,
well, Brock Bowers is either going to be a Titan or a Charger. So how does that make you guys feel about how many points he's going
to
score?
He's been getting very commonly mocked to the Indianapolis Colts. And I would prefer that we just treat him as though he's a Colt until such time that that's proven not
to be. Well, okay. Well, he won't be a Colt, but sure. he's going to go top 10. I think he's definitely it. The reason he doesn't go top 10 in these mocks is because people are like, I don't know, tight ends, they don't usually go. The NFL is going to love this dude. He's a blocker. He plays his heart out. He's crushed since the day he stepped foot on a college football field. He's a little undersized, but I think he'll test well. So he's a great receiver. Like, he's going top 10. And I actually don't mind him at all on the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers are going to run too much, but he's going to be a part of that.
Take an offensive tackle.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well,
that's the most like if I would like to bet Joe Alt the Chargers right now.
Yeah, I think that's what I put in the mock draft I did the other day.
Well, yeah, that's fair, but it doesn't have to. You know, he could go to. Honestly, I don't really even. He's one of those guys I don't.
You go to the Jets. I can see him on the Jets.
Jets would be fun. Assuming Rodgers is, you know, functional.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's going to be kind of. I think he'll be pretty fine wherever he goes because he's going to be a part of their run blocking, which means he'll be a part of their play action game, which means he'll have touchdown upside even if it's not a pass.
So ultimately, the thing is I disagree with all of this because it's all
my tight end one.
I mean, I think that's kind. I honestly, I think that's kind of defensible. But wait,
so what then what do you disagree with?
I think Bowers' one is defensible if you really think he's that elite of a prospect and if the landing spot is really good. But ultimately, Laporta is a 23-year-old tight end who just led all of fantasy tight ends in scoring, who plays 9 of his games every season in a dome. He, I think, is unlikely to see a huge leap in target competition from anyone. I would be surprised if their marquee addition was a free agent wide receiver. And you know, we say this all the time, Pat, tight end is just an insanely hard position to learn. It's like insanely hard to be good at it right away in the NFL. No. And Laporta played, I think, 85% of the snaps in his first ever NFL game in that game against Kansas City. Like, he just is locked in. He really is no different than Mark Andrews or any of these guys that we've loved.
He is, though. He is.
He is a little different. Like, he's not as much of a downfield guy. And this is, like, maybe too nitpicky on my end. I guess, like, stylistically, my, like, nitpick with Laporta, and it applies even more to Kincaid than to Laporta, but, like, 1.76 yards per route run, very good. For a rookie, incredible. But not, like, truly elite. Like, it's not the 2+ where we see, like, Mark Andrews and George Kittle hang out. It's not even, I mean, Trey McBride was at 2.03 this year as another young tight end. I think he has a case for tight end one overall in Dynasty, to be honest. 7.1 ADOT is okay. Like, it's, you know, he has, especially in college, really flashed a lot of yak ability. He has the athleticism, and he's been a force at the goal line. So I don't think it's like he's like some like Hunter Henry type or whatever. But I guess I view Laporta probably like, if we're doing an archetypal thing, I think he's probably like a better TJ Hawkinson. But I don't know that he's like a Mark Andrews or
better TJ Hawkinson. better TJ Hockenson with 145 targets can like pretty easily be tight end one in this environment, I think.
Yeah, although he got the 145 with a couple playoff games.
Yeah, 120 in the regular season for what it's worth.
So my thing is we get up into these kind of upper echelon prices, and I'm behind market on Laporta in best ball because he's not the number one on his team. And that's what, and is he ever going to be the number one on his team? Probably not. Like, no. Amon-Ra's going to re-sign there. He's a clear top wide receiver. He's better than Laporta as a receiver. Like, he just is. Even if Laporta takes a step forward, that will be the case. Amon-Ra's awesome. Amon-Ra's also a perfect fit with Goff, who also I think is part of the reason we like Laporta, like those short underneath targets, peppering guys with targets. So the Goff part of it is, he's part of the bull case, but also he's so locked in with Amon-Ra, that's not going to change. So you're looking, I think the Hockenson, better Hockenson is a great way to put it, because he's just like a really good number two option in the passing game. But as he ages, that will become less and less fun and just sort of more like a nice thing to have as opposed to a really exciting thing to have. So that's where I just have a hard time. This feels almost potentially like a sell as someone where you're like, I don't think he ever elevates to,
you're kind of selling me. Like, I think my ranking is still probably right market wise, but I think you could tell me that given all of this uncertain context, he actually is a pretty good sell. Like, if you could sell him for, let's call it Rashee Rice and a late first, early second, the 202. Interesting.
Well, where do you guys have McBride compared to Laporta?
Well, I didn't rank him initially.
Yeah.
right. So Dave has them.
Here's where Dave has McBride. It's not.
But I really liked McBride too, because I don't know if you guys had this experience.
I have them back to back.
About 23 before I was like, everyone sucks. They all suck. Everyone here. I got to Jahmyr Gibbs and Olave, and then that's when I just started having an insanely hard time ranking guys. And so I was like, Trey McBride, this awesome young player, 2.03 yards per route run. And I am more of a Kyler guy than Corain is. So like I thought that was just kind of a, I think it's like a, I think I'm, I seem higher on the young tight ends maybe than you guys just in general.
Well, I think I have McBride. Maybe you have him higher. Well,
you got to rank McBride if you want to. If you want
to, hard to get that. Hard to get higher.
I did. I moved him in.
You can't beat zero. I don't know. He's not showing up for some reason.
I'm 34, which is one spot behind where I have Laporta, and I guess it's tricky because he was more impressive than Laporta. Like had over 2 yards per route run. Had higher.
He's more efficient than Laporta. I do think. Some of Laporta's volume is impressive as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but part of that is because McBride didn't start off. Like, it wasn't like he was, like, his volume was very, very high. Like, his targets per route run was higher than Sam Laporta's was. It was just that for the, and his route participation over the latter half of the year, I think was equal or better. Like, it was just on the full season, started the year playing behind Ertz, which is why I think the volume is a little bit trailing. But like, if you look from post Ertz, which like I know splits, but like then he's higher route participation, he's higher targets per route run, he's higher yards per route run, he's higher target share, he's just higher across the board. I also like you're two player, and like I don't think that we should just entirely, I guess, throw aside that like they decided to play Zach Ertz ahead of him for a year and a half, and two separate coaching staffs decided to do that. Makes me think a little less of the coaching staff, but it's something. And it also is true that like he was just in the dream environment, right? Like he was in this like kind of broken offense with a bunch of backup quarterbacks, and then like Kyler working his way back,
and Hollywood Brown.
Hollywood had 17,000 heel injuries and like couldn't play,
and exclusively else, running 90-yard clear out routes. Like nothing. Hollywood Brown got. I'm confidently going to say zero targets within 10 yards of line of scrimmage.
Right. So I get it. Like, everything was working in his favor. But I guess the thing is, like, at first, that was kind of my thought for the first few weeks of this. I was like, wow, he's just getting spammed with targets as everything breaks around him. But, like, if that was really the case, like, he wouldn't have over 2 yards per run, right? Like, he was in this environment that was very favorable for him volume-wise, but not very favorable for him efficiency-wise. And he was efficient in spite of that. So I think he should get credit for that. And that's why I end up being very high on him. I do have Laporta higher just because of him doing it as a rookie and not taking a sort of circuitous path. But I am legitimately excited for McBride. He'll probably be in the same position as Laporta after the draft ends, right? Like, we would suspect that pretty decent chance that that's the Marvin Harrison Jr.
They're gonna, spot, but it might likely to get Marvin Harrison, yeah.
We'll see. Maybe the Patriots do it.
Maybe the Patriots do it, yeah. Although, even neighbors, I think, would have a...
God, least how shitty would it be to have to watch Marvin Harrison Jr. play as a rookie for the Gerard Mayo, Mac Jones, New England Patriots? Christ. By the way, I've got McBride at 37. I inputted... I had to add a row, so I think I messed up
a
little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
But
I really
I've got
enjoyed the raw Davis reaction of just like, Christ.
It's terrible, dude. Yeah. I mean, like, I refuse.
I know. We're all hoping Daniel Steele's there just as like the sacrificial lamb. Like, I'm sorry, Jaden. But ultimately,
the thing that's best for everyone is for the Patriots to trade away from this pick. Like, just don't put yourself in a position.
Trade out all the picks, please.
The best thing is they just sit there and they just take Joe Alt and they just be a useless franchise in peace.
Okay, yeah. Just this is kind of neither here nor there, but if they took J.J. McCarthy to be the next in the line of anonymous white quarterbacks playing for the New England Patriots after Tom Brady leaves, like, you put Bailey Zappi, Mac Jones, and J.J. McCarthy in a lineup, and they all put their helmets on, and you have to say, all right, this one is this one, that one's Bailey, that one's Mac, that one's McCarthy, I don't think you could do it.
By the way, speaking of the Harbaugh red flags, he has a quarterback who literally might go first round, and NFL evaluators are like, I don't know. We didn't really get to see much from him.
We didn't get to see shit from him.
Once he gets in an NFL system, maybe he'll actually be pretty good.
By the way, that's the quarterback he referred to as the greatest in Michigan history.
Pretty funny.
So good. He let him throw like 8 times against Penn State.
It's so good. He can't be evaluated by scouts.
Now, I mean, McCarthy.
He will be drafting Blake Corum for the Chargers, and I'm excited about that.
McCarthy is kind of interesting for this conversation because if he ends up being a first round pick to a team that has a starter that we presume to be entrenched or whatever, that just like there are a lot of ways that could go. He could ruin a bunch of guys. He could help a bunch of guys. Like it just he is kind of fascinating for this exercise.
I think
he'll be fine.
101. Rookie 15, which is probably a little late
for
a first round quarterback.
He's going to
be in the first round.
Yeah, he probably will go in the first round. Probably go higher. I'm okay not being in on McCarthy though. Like
I think he goes to Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah, then this rank will probably look bad.
He just feels to me like a Sean Payton quarterback. Like I think like Sean Payton wants to run the ball a lot. I think he wants to get the ball out on time. And I just see McCarthy as being like a viable robot for him to like distribute 24 passes per game.
Yeah, I should probably have him ahead of Knicks. He's going to get drafted ahead of Knicks. I like Knicks better. I think Knicks is more
fun. Oh, no, this is a classic guy who doesn't watch college football mistake.
I can't do it with Knicks. Like Bo Nix was the worst quarterback I've ever seen in my life at Auburn for like multiple years. And I understand that he's great at
those
Oregon.
That was several years ago, Jacob.
I know, but
we're into Jordan Love now. The only thing that matters is what happened last year.
True. Like this is the same thing that's holding me up on Daniels, man. Like, because like
in 2021
in the wilderness,
Jaden
like,
Daniels
drafted
sucked.
Like I drafted Jaden Daniels in Devy, like after his freshman year, and I've been on this roller coaster of like, oh, that's a dead pick. Like, I may as well just cut him. To like, oh, he's the third overall pick. Like, what? It's crazy. But Nix was worse. Nix was like a legitimate like butt of a joke for multiple years. Like, if you wanted to just like name a bad college quarterback, like the first name to come to your mind would be Bo Nix. It's crazy that he became good at Oregon. I don't know. I just if he's good in the NFL, then like I don't even know what to believe anymore. Like, it's,
like it would be wild.
I'm so biased against him.
For example, these were some of the results when Bo Nix was a 21-year-old junior at Auburn, his final season before he transferred. He lost to Penn State with zero passing touchdowns. They were completely non-competitive. He lost to Georgia with zero passing touchdowns. He lost to Texas A&M. Texas A&M, who fired their coach and paid him $100 million or $87 million to not be their coach anymore, 20 for 41, completed 48% of his passes for 153 yards and no touchdowns. And his final game at Auburn, he lost to Mississippi State. Mississippi State, a team that was coached by Mike Leach and won 70. Like, the dude.
Yeah, he had 11 passing touchdowns in 10 games and a 7.1 yards per attempt in his third year.
All right. Well,
all of this is true of Jaden Daniels too. Jaden Daniels, 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions as a 21-year-old at Arizona State.
It's tough.
So
he's cooler because he runs a lot.
Because he does run a lot. Yeah. No, I have Daniels ahead, but the reasons that I'm kind of interested in Nix, I should have McCarthy ahead just for draft capital for sure. But the NFL seems fairly high on Nix. I keep seeing stuff like, it'll be, you know, the three top guys. McCarthy is going to go higher than you think. And then also keep an eye on Bo Nix. That seems to be. Yeah. And then like Penix is
definitely in a higher class than Penix.
Penix is probably third round is kind of how I'm feeling.
He's a backup.
Yeah. But Bo Nix pops in my stuff as being really good under pressure, makes plays, doesn't take sacks. So I think that the NFL is going to like that. Like, this is a kind of pocket quarterback who plays well under pressure. Like, that's a pretty, he's sort of like reverse Desmond Ridder. You know, he kind of does all the things well that Desmond Ridder doesn't do. He doesn't run. We don't like that, but
You know what vibes I'm getting from Bo Nix? Ryan Nassib. Remember when Ryan Nassib was mocked as a first round pick? Yeah. Am I too old? Is that too old of a reference?
That's I completely wiped my brain.
I can see. I was gonna give you a different Ryan. If I'm Ryan Mallett, Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, I was gonna go Mallett.
Oh, but isn't Tannehill, he like
just like a in terms of like a big guy, an old prospect?
Tannehill would
like
be a win.
It's like functionally mobile.
Tannehill
like,
would be a big
win. Has a good arm. Like I could see like Tannehill would be my like optimistic comp for him. Not Mallett.
Honestly, one guy that popped up in some of my stuff was Mitch Trubisky.
Okay.
Because another guy, Mitch Trubisky also, like, you don't think because he's so bad, but he also doesn't make a lot of mistakes under pressure. He, like, throws the ball away, and he, like, only will throw to his first read. He, like,
I guess I was thinking more, like, journey comps because Mitch was, like, a one-year starter, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Nix was, like, a 17-year starter.
That's true. Yeah, in that way, it's a weird comp.
But, yeah, the stylistic, for sure.
Yeah, but here's the other thing about Nix, okay? I have Will Levis at 84. You guys have him at 54 and 71. Will Levis probably currently sucks. And
hey.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I watched.
I have no numbers based case. I'm so happy Davis is higher on him than me.
It's literally vibes based on Levis.
He's good. Well, look, I don't think it isn't like how could you have him rank so high? I'm saying you have him ranked so high for a reason, which is that it's hard to find quarterbacks with upside who are locked into multiple years of starting, which Levis is on this rookie deal. Nix will probably look a little bit like Levis after this year. And McCarthy will too, which is why I needed to move him up. Where we're like, I don't know how good he is. He might be good, but he's starting next year and he's going to start the year after that too.
Yeah, I have no objection to this, Bo Nix. You have him at like 93. Like that's let me just pull up. I don't have the players slotted in past like 107. I just have picks because I'm a coward. But if I were to guess, I would have had him slotted into like 110, 111, 112 range, whatever. And it looks like I would have him in like the 73 to 86 range. So I'm all on board with that.
Okay. Let's go back up and talk some of this like cluster of wide receiver. I'm pretty interested in just, I think people want to get our thoughts on like any thoughts to share. I mean, we're all pretty aligned, I think, on this top group. We're all in. We're buying Puka. I don't know. Anything interesting to say about this tier of receivers or the one after with Rashee Rice and Puka jumping and Tank Dell jumping into this tier?
I was low.
Who do I like more than you guys? Every name I look at, I'm the low guy. I'm like every single
You're out on everyone.
I like anyone.
You have all the quarterbacks higher than we do, I think.
I have the quarterbacks. Oh, and you know what it also is I have 2024, 101, 2024, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, like stuck in here, and that pushes everybody else down.
Yeah. So I've just sorted so your ranks are what?
I mean, this is probably the most interesting guy we haven't talked about yet. Where did we all have Kyren Williams?
Oh, that is a good one.
That is a very good one. Where do I have Kyren Williams?
Because I consciously kind of wanted to be low on him, and I wonder if I.
Oh yeah, I'm low by a lot.
I thought I was low at 40.
Yeah. 58 is a tough ranking, I guess.
You got to have him over Kenneth Walker.
I'm behind Ken Walker.
You have him 22 picks ahead. I can't get you on this.
I foresee
both. Davis's rankings are two separate beings. Like,
because I can close my eyes.
He'll make a comment, and then they're like entirely different.
Because can't you guys close your eyes and see both things with Kyren Williams?
He is
like Kyren Williams. He just duplicates exactly what he just did, and he ends up in the ass end of a timeshare with whatever rookie running back, you know, with Trey Benson. They spend a second round pick on a running back for the 19th consecutive season. You know,
Kenneth Walker is in a timeshare with Zach Charbonnet. Like, what you're worried about? It's already happened.
Kenneth Walker is good. Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. I've been a lifelong Kenneth Walker bear, and unfortunately, like, it all changed when I needed Ken Walker to advance me through on that Monday night game against the Eagles, and he did it successfully, and it made me think of him in an entirely different light, to be entirely honest. Like,
you had a bias revelation?
Like, it was. It really was. No, I think it's just... Ken Walker had, I guess, if I'm trying to make a realistic case for this, and I'm going to change. I'm going to switch this up. I'm going to put Kyren ahead of Ken Walker as soon as we're done this. So I give up. I white flag. But my argument would be that, like, Ken Walker does a thing that no one's ever going to take away from an NFL field. Like, he is one of the best explosive runners in the NFL. And that assures him a certain floor where, like, no team in the NFL is going to have him on their team and not give him enough carries to do that trait well. That doesn't guarantee that he's going to get all of the short yardage work over more reliable guys. Doesn't guarantee that he's going to get all of the receiving work over better receivers. But I think he has, like, a floor. And if all of the rest of it comes around, then that potential efficiency and that explosion gives him a really high ceiling. Whereas with Kyren, to me, it's a little bit more all or nothing. Like, his like magical trait is doing everything competently. But he doesn't really do, like, unless you have something that pops on your end. But, like, I don't know that he has.
No, I don't. He doesn't really pop for me at all.
That he is special at. Like, I think he's, like, a good enough receiver, and he's a great pass blocker, which helps him stay on the field all the time. And he's, like, a reliable runner who makes the right decisions, but he doesn't really have the athleticism to translate that into massive plays. Like, so I just feel like he's a little bit more at the whims of his environment, where, like, if a coaching staff ever woke up one day and be like, I like vanilla ice cream fine, but what if I tried chocolate? Like, then all of a sudden he's rotting in the sun.
That's the thing. Kyren has no insulation. He doesn't have efficiency insulation, draft capital insulation, he's got none, you know, at all.
He doesn't. He's scary. He's very scary. If he's going higher than this, then I would, you know, generally be on the move off to something safer. We talk about the guys who, you know, a safe place to store running back value. Kyren is an extremely unsafe place to store running back value, but there's a good chance he scores like 20 points per game this year.
So this is where we get
into
the context of these. It's hard to do one size fits all dynasty rankings on shit like this, because, like, if I, like, for example, Karain, we have that auction league that we're in, and, like, I have a good team there.
You want
kind of need to cap. I won, but I kind of need
I talked about how I tanked you for like 3 years, and then you won the league. You dunked all over me.
Wow. Look at that.
Well, I got 160 points in the semifinal from George Pickens and Amari Cooper. So, you know, it's I'd rather be lucky than good. But point being, that team is about to age out now because the guys I traded for were already old. So they're probably, I'm like, this is probably their last ability to contribute. I would for sure trade for Kyren Williams in that league where it's like, I'm probably getting a slight discount. Actually, you're for sure where we have him ranked. You're for sure getting a discount on his projected points for 2024. Oh, yeah. You're getting a Definitely. Huge yeah. discount. And if he let's say Kyren Williams duplicates his 2023 and 2024, even comes close, 19 and a half points per game or something like that. He is going to rocket launch up these rankings, even though we know running backs are, I mean, we all just nagged Jahmyr Gibbs, but like he has a huge amount to gain. Now, obviously he could also go to zero a la Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like both things could happen, but he is one of those guys that could gain a lot of value this year.
Yeah.
Davis, you are so much higher on all these running backs as I'm looking through. Like you're like
classic.
You're like three rounds higher than us on Travis Etienne. Like absurdly like a lot. Higher on Travis yeah. Etienne. You're I way higher than
good.
Us
I feel
on
good about Devon that.
Etienne. Like you're gobbling these.
I feel good about that too. I feel good about being higher on Etienne and Etienne.
You're higher on Etienne?
Except for your boy Walker, who ironically is the guy that you've always been higher than each of us on. And that's the one yeah, you're not higher
that,
on.
That's wrong. I'll probably move Walker up and Kyren down after talking about it.
Well, no, I want to make the case against Walker because
go for it.
No one cares. It's all nerd shit, dude. No one
It's not nerd shit. It's not thing. Nerd shit. Look, this well, it is nerd shit. Of course it is. but less nerdy than usual. Here's the thing with Walker. He had a success rate that was at 35% last year, which is normally a metric that NFL teams really care about, not because they actually look at the metric, but because they like watch tape and they're like, God damn it, this
and
guy
they're like,
got
this guy
again,
never gets
again.
Yards.
He's getting again. Yeah. That's the thing as humans that's gonna stick out to us. How often is this guy generating positive plays? Is he hitting the right hole? I've seen some stuff where like Walker doesn't hit the hole as designed. He's a boom bust runner. He's an explosive runner. But historically, this is actually the type of guy we've been begging NFL coaches to play more than they do.
Yeah.
Right. The DeAndre Swifts of the world where I've actually been burned so many times by just, oh, they'll definitely give this boom bust explosive runner enough carries. And then they just don't because they're sick of him getting stuffed, which is a huge problem with Walker. He had a 35% success rate as a rookie. Last year, he was even worse. He dropped to 32%. Three running backs in the entire league were worse than him in success rate. Joshua Kelly, Jamal Williams, and Miles Sanders. Those are the guys less consistent than Kenneth Walker. I actually think he's kind of sneaky dangerous with a new coaching staff coming in.
Well, and
do they feed
college
him?
And probably the offensive coordinator is going to be Zach Charbonnet's college coach.
Well, that's there you go. I mean, that's not great either. I don't think Charbonnet's that good, but
I didn't even put that together until you said that, Jacob.
Like it's Chip Kelly is probably coming in there and he's probably looking at his friend Zach.
Chip Kelly coming in. Also, how am I the highest on JSN? How is Pat the low man?
Well, because Davis, you know who else Chip Kelly coached at UCLA other than Zach Charbonnet? Jake Bobo.
Oh
no.
Chip Kelly has a quote saying that Jake Bobo is the second best practice player of all time behind Peyton Manning.
Wow.
Here's the thing, guys. As someone who's been repeatedly burned by prospects that I loved and then didn't do much as rookies, and it doesn't matter, rookie season doesn't matter. Let's go back to the well. And
yeah,
then it goes
it's better,
to hell immediately.
Get off early.
Oh boy.
I'm not out, but like
you're out.
I've been stunned by the best ball market's like, wait, where did we take him last year? Fifth, sixth turn? Great, let's do that again. Why? Why? No discount? Why? I truly don't understand. Like this dude was terrible as a rookie.
Pat is on Shane Waldron's team. He's here on with Shane Waldron being like, no wonder I didn't call more plays for you. You suck, dude.
No, I mean, oh, like man. He had like 1.32 yards per route run. Yeah. That's bad. That's like the red flag concerning. Like he wasn't. There's no other metrics that you can look
here.
To.
Like, well, he's really good in
this. There's no bull case. The only bull case is we liked him before, and maybe we'll be right eventually.
Do you guys want the ultimate?
I don't like that bull case.
No, it's not a good bull case. I'm surprised that I'm the high guy, or I'm not. Davis is. Thank you.
I'm not going to be when I go back in.
Okay. Not for long.
Well, I didn't want. Just for the record, Davis is the JSN truther of our show for now. This is the relevant time window in which to make that determination. I was hoping to be the lower guy at JSN because I agree. Like I've made that case where people have been like, "Well, what did you expect? Like he had two guys ahead of him," and it was like, "Well, I expected him to potentially fail for not running enough routes. I didn't expect him to fail for not being good. Like
yes,
like I thought we would get like I was expecting like a." Like if you told me JSN was going to have a like disappointing season, I would have said, okay, probably has like 1.7 yards per route run and a 0.22 targets per route run, but like 70% route share. And it's like, all right, like I can live with that and I can get excited about that for year two. But it wasn't really that. He just was worse than the other guys who weren't even that good.
What if I told you that he had 4 for 48 and a touchdown in week 15?
And we were pumped.
And we would be like, he's coming alive. Like, what?
JSN
that touchdown advanced my best ball finals team. Oh, it advanced. So I was excited.
It advanced like four teams to the semis.
So he's the
JSN
legend
had fewer EPA per route than Quentin Johnston.
Oh god. Oh. It says the JSN Bull. Yeah.
There are two things that I got to. One, I thought Debo was 27, so I'm probably 10 spots too high on him. You guys are way too low on Debo, obviously. But
You have Debo at 26 overall?
I like Debo, man. I like guys who score fantasy points.
that's an insane ranking.
I am. It is insane. It is too high. I'm also too high on Barkley sitting here looking at this. 55.
Where do you have Barkley?
High.
Oh,
55.
Well, right. Yeah, but that's like you having the same as us because every running back on your list automatically is around higher than any running back on our
list. I'm a lot higher on Jaden Reed than you guys. You guys don't believe in mini Debo. You guys don't believe in Debo East. Debo North.
Well, I'm higher than Pat, so I don't have to defend this.
I have him above JSN.
I just got thrown right back.
If we're taking slot receivers, they should be good, right?
I mean, it put Jaden Reed above JSN. That's my bad, guys.
Where are we going to have JSN ranked next offseason? Will JSN be on this sheet next?
Where's the Rashaad Bateman ranked?
He's literally like, I've ridden this train every year, and I'm just like, no, I'm not getting on again. It sucks. It never goes where I want.
Yeah, like I've been doing this. Yeah, it's the rookies. Like, if I definitely have a weakness for sure. It's not the rookies who are, well, I guess I was going to say it's not the rookies who are terrible, but then I remembered my Sky Moore exposure, and it is actually also the rookies who are terrible. But it's especially the rookies who are okay. Like,
yeah, it's the rookies who are okay. Yeah.
Like the Rashaad Bateman.
Who had like an identical yards per route run in his rookie season, Rashaad Bateman.
Yeah, like this feels very Bateman-y. And it's I first started the offseason, I was like, I'm out on Bateman, and then I like talked myself back into Bateman, and then it happened again where I kept talking myself back into Bateman. Honestly, I'm probably gonna talk myself into Bateman again next year.
Sam Sherman is already coat posting. He's already Bateman coat posting in DMs on Discord.
Wait, Sherman is coat posting Bateman, but like I'm sure like if he saw JSN on the side of the street asking him for water, he would pass him by.
Like, I sent the EPA stat about Quentin Johnston and JSN to him because I knew he would have fun with that at some point.
Then he said Quentin Johnston is such a bad faith take. Look for a tweet about Quentin Johnston over JSN imminently.
Okay, this is If you had Quentin Johnston, if you had Quentin Johnston in a dynasty
league, that's what the drop button is for.
Yeah. What would you, if someone just sent you a 2025 second right now, would you just accept?
Yeah. I would take a 2025 third.
Who's sending a 2025 second? That would be a dream.
Some people, you know, it's the draft capital thing.
He can't play. He's gonna get like, it. There's no case. He, of all of the faith planters of all of the worlds, he is the faith plantiest. Like, no, he got everything possible to work out in his favor. He played with Justin Herbert. He had Mike Williams go down. He had Keenan Allen go down. He had Josh Palmer go down. Every wide receiver who he touched went on IR. And he had Justin Herbert to play with. Then he got to play with his backup boy that he probably spent all summer with. He had different coaches. Like, it was nothing worked because he just can't play.
We already knew
he was a boom bust prospect coming in, right?
Like, yeah, that's the thing.
He was a boom bust prospect. And then we found out. Bust.
Yeah, we found out.
He had one nice catch with Easton Stick.
Jacob wasn't kidding when he said that's what the drop button is for.
Yeah, I'm unranked.
Yeah. Demario Douglas at 97. All right. I need a sanity check. Some of these. Dobbs is fine. Dobbs is fine.
Yeah, he's so high.
Dobbs is fine. Dobbs is fine. Because I thought Dobbs was a good prospect, and I'm really high on Jordan Love. But
how high do you have Dontavian Wicks, though?
High.
Like higher than Dobbs?
I probably have every Packers pass catcher ranked ahead of ADP and ahead of you guys. I bet if we command F.
Well,
for
I
that.
Think I'm pretty high on Wicks, but maybe I'm not compared to Davis.
Let's find out.
Yeah. I have Wicks at 124.
Oh, well,
I don't have AJ
up.
Dillon ranked.
Wicks didn't even show up here. Oh, because I don't have him ranked.
Because you don't have him ranked. Stay, have fun staying poor, Pat.
Yeah, I probably should rank Wicks.
Musgrave also, by the way, Musgrave is also a good sell because Tucker Kraft is better than him.
Wait, sorry, what'd you say about Musgrave?
Musgrave is a good sell or a good like non-invest spot because Kraft is better than him. Although I probably have them both ranked high.
You're very in on Jordan Love. It makes sense.
Yeah. I just have every Packer high.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I didn't rank Kraft.
Is there anyone else you wanted to take from me on? And then I got to run, but you guys obviously can keep going for as long as you want.
I don't know. Well,
I didn't rank Kenny Pickett. You want to get, you're higher on all the quarterbacks.
No, he stinks.
I don't. Did I rank Kenny Pickett? If I did, barely.
Are there anyone in this kind of group of like veteran receivers that, you know, people should be moving on or off of? I would note that Christian Kirk could potentially be an incredible sell high if Calvin Ridley doesn't re-sign and they have to give up a second round pick if they do. I've got the contract status here. He's actually a cut candidate next season. So if people are like, oh, he's heading in as the clear one, first of all, they'll probably draft someone.
Right.
Very likely to, like, with the pick they would have had to give up. And then, so there's going to be potentially a window opening here on Christian Kirk is a really nice sell.
Well, I'll just ask, what do you guys think of Diggs? Because that's the weirdest season that I can remember.
Oh, I did want to talk Diggs because so Dalton Kincaid, I'm higher on than I would like to be because I think there's a chance he actually emerges as what we were talking about, the clear number one on his team with, or at least close enough. Because I don't know, like Diggs, does Diggs like get himself out of Buffalo with enough griping?
I mean, I think like mathematically, it's very difficult for him to do so, right? Like it would cost them more money to have him not on the team than on the team, I'm pretty sure.
He's a cut candidate next year. So this year he's probably
likely.
Yeah.
So what's our consensus rank on him? Because he's like a really hard guy to rank. Did we end up?
We're actually all pretty aligned.
Exactly. Oh, we ended up really aligned, which is interesting because he's like. So I guess we all think the same thing.
I still don't really like him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of locked in. You're right. He's locked in this year. The Kincaid thing is that maybe Diggs is gone after the year after he had a solid second year, and then you're like, oh my god, he's number one for Josh Allen.
Oh, I found the tight end I'm higher than you guys on. Holy smokes. I'm 37 spots higher than both of you on David Njoku.
Wow.
Well, I'm lower on every Brown because Joe Flacco's not going to be their quarterback.
Yeah, Joe Flacco's not there.
So, like, okay. I think that I get the joke.
Before Jacob goes, he's going to make the pro Deshaun Watson case for us. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, that's so I get that we all like it's. I'm not going to make a pro Deshaun Watson case. I mean, I guess that I am by proxy, but I understand that Deshaun Watson is the least likable person in the National Football League, and Joe Flacco.
Not according to Ken Dorsey. You see that?
Oh my God! That was wild. You got the Ken Dorsman.
That's not. You don't want the Ken Dorsman.
Yeah, that was. Was someone like holding a gun behind the curtain? Like
what the hell, like, man?
Polonius? Like that was wild. Anyway, no one needed to say that. But okay, so everyone but Ken Dorsey doesn't like Deshaun Watson, and everyone loves Joe Flacco. But like, we should admit that Joe Flacco wasn't actually good, right? Like, he was good for the pass catchers because he threw a lot, but like, he constantly put the ball into harm's way, and he wasn't consistent from a play-to-play basis. Like, and I think we all kind of got like, you know, we just all heard like Daniel Raz like telling everyone about Flacco and he became a meme lord, but he wasn't actually good. So they also go now to Ken Dorsey's offense, which will be more of a spread system that'll be a little bit more up to Sean Watson's alley. I think that was like a smart choice by them to be like, Alex Van Pelt was a pretty good coordinator for like what we had, but it's not a good fit for Watson. And I think that they'll have like a fully competent offense. Like, I don't know if Watson's going to be great or anything, but like, he played pretty well against Tennessee, he played pretty well against Baltimore in his last two healthy games. I think that for the purposes, at least of his weaponry, I don't think he's going to be like deplorable.
He's gonna be terrible. He's gonna continue to be terrible. The offense is gonna continue to be terrible. I just like Flacco. You're totally correct that Flacco was not good, but Flacco was good for the guys who caught passes from him.
It does strike. That's a decent case to me that the offensive coordinator change makes a big impact, because one thing with Watson, I've been kind of looking back at some of the stuff with Watson as a prospect and just sort of the style of play that he has. And like, as the league moves kind of towards these executors of the offense, you know, get the ball out on time. Like, Watson's never really been that.
Right.
And it's probably pretty good to get a OC. Like, if anyone's going to return this guy to what he was, it would be an OC that works with more of like a creative, you know, kind of playmaker style quarterback.
And it's going to be a shotgun spread offense, like, probably.
Which is, I mean, that's where he needs to be. So, I mean, he could actually be quite a bit better in the Dorsey system.
I mean, the downside is, of course, like, you don't really want a quarterback where you look at your offense and you're like, we are already running the dominant system in the NFL that everyone's having success with, and our quarterback can't run that. Like, that's not good. That is, in fact, bad. But they are financially tied to him one way or the other, so they may as well try to maximize what he does well in the interim. Which, again, like, we're not even having the Watson rating discussion. Like, for the purposes of David, well,
maybe we should at this point. Else,
I'm probably, yeah. I mean, I'm the highest, but
you're the highest, but I'm actually still fairly high because he's locked in. I mean, the guaranteed money.
He's locked in, and he wasn't that bad for fantasy. Like, he still runs, and like, they're, especially with Dorsey, like, I expect to be a pretty high pass rate team. Like, I think he's going to be fine for fantasy, regardless of whether he's like, if you want a discounted version of like a Kyler Murray or a Jalen Hurts or a whatever. Like, I mean, he's probably cheaper than Justin Fields even, and he's way more locked in than Justin Fields.
Yeah, I actually have him ahead of Justin Fields.
I don't want to give him the Ken Dorsman, but I have him at Justin
Fields
too. So I don't. It never feels good to say positive things about Deshaun Watson, but depending on your morals, it's probably a reasonable dynasty buy.
Can let's end on a positive note before you get out of here, Jake.
We should
do another pod soon and talk more of the rookies. Once you guys have fully
gotten these guys. I'm off work next week, so I'm planning to get in the spreadsheets and get in the film lab, and we'll be rolling.
All right, good. We'll do another pod soon then. But let's close on Devon Achane and see if Davis can mark you off your. Let's see if Davis can talk Jacob off his face.
I noticed two things: that I'm the lowest on Devon Achane and Nico Collins, and I don't know what's happened in this world anymore.
Come on, no one did this but you.
Devon Achane was basically Jamal Charles for like 50% of his games last year, and his competition the Dolphins have no picks. Their cap situation is terrible. And they have a 32-year-old Raheem Mostert and a 31-year-old Jeff Wilson Jr. as his competition. We think things are getting worse for Devin Achan, sir. What are we doing?
Everything you're saying is correct.
Incredible use of sir.
Look, I don't know. Give me like 6 more rounds of therapy, and then I'll like be able to be the highest on the players that I like more than you guys, instead of the lowest after one successful year. Like,
Jacob's too nice to rank the players he likes.
I looked at like my Achan ranking being the lowest and my Nico Collins ranking being the lowest. And like at one point, like on a podcast where I was drafting and Pat was like doing the live stream, he was like, well, we know Nico's not getting past that slot because Jacob loves him more than life itself. And that's the guy that I'm the lowest on, along with Achan, who I've called my favorite player of all time. Like, I don't know. Like, it's a me issue. I clearly have like emotional self-esteem issues I need to work through with like medication or counseling. And I need to reflect deeper. Like, I don't understand how this keeps happening to me.
I was trying to end on a high note.
I assume it's like a Tony Pollard-based post-traumatic stress disorder. Everything you said is right. Achan's great.
You said it's right.
And I don't know. He's a running back that's really small. And it was cool when everybody was saying that about him. And I was like, buddy's really good. But now it seems like sometimes people don't care about he was really small and he's a running back parts anymore. And that concerns me. But I hope that you're right. And I hope that he gets fed. And I hope that he doesn't get injured every third game. That would be great. Are we allowed to be scared that he's tiny and that he gets injured constantly? Are we allowed to have any of those fears? No?
You are allowed to feel that way if it happens again this year. If he rips off 3 straight 23-pointers and then gets, you know, is on the IR with the mysterious knee injury in week 5, then yeah. But I'm not, because he was healthy in college for the most part.
I think the place you want to be most afraid is Dynasty. Like in best ball,
sure.
That when he plays games, he's going to
shit out of him in best ball. I'm going to draft the shit out of him in best ball. I promise.
He's a big target for me in best ball this year. But in Dynasty, I do take the point because it's not just that you might lose value by having Achan on your team and he has this injury prone year. And we turn on dudes when they get hurt. But it's also that you will get a bye window as well with those injuries. Like,
for sure,
he's very likely to get banged up and you'll get a bye window too.
For sure. Like, I don't know. It's just if someone told you like any of these top young running backs, like Achan, Gibbs, Hall, and Bijan, and even if you went down to like Etienne and Walker, if one of you told you like one of these guys is like not being drafted on Underdog in 3 years, like isn't Achan your first choice?
Not if I'm still on Underdog.
Like, well, Kyron's your first choice, but isn't Achan your second choice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably.
Okay. Let me put it like this, and then we can get Jacob out of here. If Achan has Raheem Mostert's 2023, plays in 15 games, 209 carries, 1,200 yards, 21 touchdowns, how high does he go in our rankings next year?
I don't know. I'll probably still be the lowest, I guess. probably he's right up here. He's probably in the teens. He'll be in the teens.
He's right up with these other running backs.
Yeah.
I really hope that happens. I'm not going to sell him. I'm going to just keep them.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We did it. We ended on a high note. All right. Achan to the moon.
Achan to the moon.
Guys, we'll be back soon. We'll be back soon with another Dynasty pod. Appreciate you guys.
Therapy.
Jacob's going to go work on himself. We'll work on the ranks. Jacob, work on himself. We'll come back. We'll do some more. See you guys next time.
Okay. See you guys.